We have Pastor Jeff here from Akron First Assembly Church. And he's going to be doing the word. He's going to give the word today and also do the praise and worship for us. So I'm going to ask you please to stand, if you will. We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we're going to pray. So, gentlemen, please remove your hats and look towards the flag. All right, everyone nice and quiet here till we let's all settle down. All right, place your right hand over your heart and look towards the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, Father, we're so blessed to be in your presence again today. Father, we come before your throne with praise and thanksgiving. We are here to honor you and to worship you. Lord, I pray for every person who walks through this door will be touched in a mighty way by the Holy Spirit. Lord, those who have come through these doors that don't know you, I pray, God, that they are here to seek and to find you. Lord, your word is true. You say if we seek you, we will find you. Let this be a day of salvation, a rebirth for somebody. Let someone come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for Pastor Jeff as he gives the word here, Lord, that you would use him as your instrument. Lord, speak through him and help us, Lord, to understand what we're about to hear. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Nice and quiet.
To have you raised, praise God. Holy Spirit, Father, God, we want to hear your voice today. How great is our God. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. God, you are good and deserving. God, we lift up your name today. Jesus, you are worthy of praise. Amen. All right, who's ready to receive a word from the Lord today? I believe that this is to the best that I know how to hear from the Lord. I feel like this is for you today. Normally I try to have something that's just really like exciting, something that I can get like revved up about, so that as you guys are talking, and you know, it's really hard from up here as people are talking to like get people excited about what you're saying. And so I'm telling you today, like, I'm going to need a little bit of your attention, because what I have today, I feel like is a really good, it's a word for you, but it's going to take some focusing in and some listening to what I have to say, because I have to build some things on each other. What I want to share with you today is the difference between what it looks like to live under the law and live under a spirit of religion, and the difference between that and living really under freedom and living under grace and living in relationship with Jesus. So what do I mean by that? What does that even mean? And I remember talking with a friend of mine. It was actually a pastor friend of mine, and he shared with me. He was saying, you know, Jeff, I really feel like, even though I've been a Christian for a long time, like, I still am, like, always living just according, just to what I feel like is right or wrong. And I'm constantly judging my favor with God based on my works. And he knows that that's wrong. He knows that, like Jesus came to pay for our sins. And so that he set us free from the law, so that our favor with him is based on our trust and our faith in him, right? You guys have heard that, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could be in relationship with him. And as we trust him and as we place our faith in him and what he did, we're no longer held accountable for the things that we did in the sense that that we have to pay for it. We're still accountable for it, but we no longer have to pay for it. He took the price for that, okay? So what I mean when I say, like, living under the law is living in our own strength and trying to follow some kind of strict set of rules to stay inside the lines of righteousness in order to gain favor with God. I'm going to say that again so you know what I'm talking about. So this is okay. Living under the law means living in our own strength, trying to follow a strict set of rules to stay inside the lines of righteousness or right living in order to gain favor with God. Now, all of you are like, wait a second. I thought, you know, we are supposed to do the right thing. And so I'm not saying don't do the right thing. That's not what I'm saying at all. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying is you can't be righteous in your own strength. Amen? You cannot be righteous in your own strength. There's nothing that you can do on your own to gain favor with God. And much of the New Testament is like this. And as Paul is sharing the good news of Christ, he has to combat this mentality, because he's teaching Jewish people who have followed the law. And what I mean by the law is just God's descriptions of what's right to do. They follow the law to the T as if that was what was going to gain them favor with God. And so he has to share with them, like, look, this isn't what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about following Jesus. And probably the best example of who did this the most was the Pharisees, right? Jesus would say, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup,
But the inside of the cup, you don't. You know, it's filthy. And how many of us live our lives like that, right? We know how other people see us, or we care so much about how other people see us that we clean up the outside. We clean up the things that we're doing in our life. Or at least we say that we do so that we look good to other people. But yet the inside our heart is filled with lust and pride and jealousy and anger and bitterness. And our heart is hard. And even though we've said and we've heard the preacher say, put your faith in Jesus Christ. We've said, okay, I'm going to do that. All we've done is put ourselves under another law. And all we've done is put ourselves under another strict guidelines of I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this to earn favor with God and man. And we burn out and we're tired and there's no life in it. Because the law doesn't lead to life. The law is there to show us that we're guilty. It's to show us right from wrong and to show us that we're guilty in our need for Jesus. So Paul says in Romans, as he's talking to Jews, he says, for you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not people. You see, if we're living really in right relationship with God, we operate with a fear of the Lord, not just a fear of man, of what other people think. Okay, so hold on, I'm getting here too. And I think of, in Romans 7, I think of like when Paul is saying, I know it's right to do, and my mind says I want to do that, but yet I keep doing what I don't want to do. I know it's right and I know the good thing to do, but yet my sinful nature keeps telling me otherwise and I keep doing that. How many of you have ever been in that place where you're like, man, I know what's right and I know that I want to do it right, but I keep doing what I don't want to do. I keep living in sin and I keep messing my life up and I keep screwing up my relationships because it's like I'm in bondage, because that's what sin does. Is sin keeps us in bondage. And so what's the difference then? What's the difference between living under the law and living under grace? In Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start just right at the beginning at verse 1. Paul says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again into slavery to the law. Do you hear that? Like Paul's encouraging them and he says, Christ has set you free, so don't get tied up in slavery again to the law. But he's not telling them just go out and do whatever you want and do all this bad stuff. He's saying, look, don't put yourself in bondage to try to gain favor just based on your works. So what does that look like? Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Meaning, if you're going to try to gain favor with God just by if you're a good person, then you better have every single moment of your life lined up with righteousness. That's what Paul's saying. If you're going to put yourself under the law, then you better do the whole thing. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. Did you hear me? If you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. That's in the Bible. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith, when we put our trust, when we surrender the throne of our heart to Jesus Christ and we say, that's your place. But when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, There is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important, this is what he says, what is important is faith expressed in love. What is important is faith, trust in Christ, our trust for him expressed in our love for him. Love meaning choosing, making the choice to choose the highest good. Meaning our trust for Jesus and who he is and what he did on our cross and following after him. As we follow him and we place our trust in him, then if we're operating from that place of trust and love, we receive the righteousness of Christ. Does that make sense? And yet still, like, we hear these messages, but then we just make a list for ourselves, a checklist of things that we have to do. Or we compare ourselves. We say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a pretty good person. We're just putting ourselves right. We're taking just some ideas from Christianity, but we're putting ourselves right back under the law. And so hear me when I say to you today that God has so much more for you than just a list of right and wrongs. That Christianity is not just what you've done right and what you've done wrong. Christianity is about a God who is real and active and alive and in this place right now who's saying, I made you, I created you to know me. I created you, the God of the universe created you to know him, to be intimate with him. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. That one day we're going to be united with him. We are going to know him like a husband knows a wife. And so what we've done sometimes is we've taken Christ and what he did. And we've said, all right, I'll take your forgiveness, but I'll continue to live under the law. And I'll keep my relationship with you at a distance. But church, we've got to stop doing that because we're just putting ourselves under another law. And if we put ourselves under another law, it says that it says we've fallen away from God's grace. So our ethics should be decided, meaning what we choose to do should really ultimately be decided by our yielding to the Spirit and the Lordship of Christ over our life. So am I saying that you have freedom somehow to sin or to live however you want? By no means am I saying that. I'm not saying you're free to live according to your sinful nature. What I am saying is that if you've been crucified with Christ, meaning if you've surrendered the throne of your heart to him and you've said, I'm not going to live for myself anymore, but I'm going to live for him. You're free to follow in relationship with him. And as you screw up and as you mess up, he'll get you back on track because you've surrendered that place of your heart to him. It's not that you're going to live perfect. It's going to be that your eyes are fixed on the most wonderful, beautiful being in the whole universe. The God of the universe, your eyes are fixed on him and your desire is for him. And so as you're growing and as you're changing, he's going to show you how to make your way right. And you won't carry around this weight of, oh, am I good enough? Am I going to make it? Am I going to make the cut? But being completely surrendered, he's going to look at you and he's going to say, I call you righteous. I call you my son. I call you my daughter. And I take you in and you're forgiven and free. And so really quick, I want to show you what this looked like for Peter. So Peter has a vision. Okay, Peter has this vision where God tells him to eat certain animals that the law of Moses originally told them were unclean to eat. So he has this vision where God tells him to do something that God originally said, don't do that. And first Peter's like, I'm not going to eat that. My mouth has never touched anything that's unclean. I'm not going to do, why would I do that and break your law? And God says to him, do not call something unclean if I have said it is clean. So Peter's mind is like blown and like, wow, you mean that can even happen? God can call something clean that he originally said wasn't and it is now? And it opens the door for Peter to realize that God has made a way not just for the Jewish people, but for everyone else, for what the Bible calls the Gentiles. And that's us. Jesus has made a way for us. And it made a way for him to relate with them and do things with them that originally the law would have said, don't relate with Gentiles in this way. And so you see, for Peter, because of Jesus, he no longer has to live according just to the set of rules, but he lives in obedience to the leading of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So Peter lives in obedience to the Spirit, and as a result, gets to be a blessing to the Gentiles. So what is living under grace? Rather than living in our own strength, just out of fear of punishment or hope for some kind of reward, and then falling short. Instead of that, we recognize that we are free from the law and forgiven for the times that we've broken it. We no longer have to live in our own strength trying to fulfill some kind of checklist, but now can live in relationship with God, responding to the leadings of the Holy Spirit and surrendering to His Lordship and transforming power. We're called out of some kind of list of rules and some kind of, you know, religion, and into an intimacy and a real relationship with God, where He teaches us how to hear His voice, how to feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, how to be empowered to actually live the kind of life that He calls us to live. Do you know what the solution to the problem in Romans 7 is, where Paul says, I know what I want to do, but I can't do it? The solution is the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, look, you no longer have to live according to your sinful nature, but instead I've put the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to live the kind of life that I've called you to live, so that you no longer just have to try really, really hard, like all the time. Christianity isn't just some trying to stay out of sin, but it's entering into this awesome, wonderful relationship with a holy God who fills you up and empowers you for life and gives you purpose and vision to walk out in good and healthy relationships and in freedom from the stuff that held you in bondage. So living under grace does not mean that you can live freely according to your sinful nature, but it means that you can live freely according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul says, I have the right to do anything. Or he's talking about people who claim that they can just sin and do whatever they want. But Paul says, I have the right to do anything, you say. But then Paul says, but not everything is beneficial. You see, somehow we think that sometimes we get this idea that the grace that Christ gave us is somehow this cheap grace, and oh, God will forgive me anyway, I can just do whatever I want. Listen, the freedom that you've been given is not freedom to live for yourself. The freedom that you've been given is freedom to step into the calling and purpose and identity that you were created for, which is relationship with God, surrender to Him. And the thing is His ways are better anyway. His ways of doing relationships is better than your ways of doing relationships. His ways of honoring each other, His ways of dealing with anger and hurt are better than our ways anyway. So my question for you today is this. Like maybe you're not a Christian at all. But you're hearing me and you're like, I want that freedom. I want to know the God of the universe. I don't want to live according to if I'm just a good enough person. I want you to receive grace today. But also, maybe you're a Christian who says, like, I follow Jesus. But you know in your heart that if someone were to ask you, do you know God? You would say, I don't feel like I know God. I'm still living according to if I'm a good person or not. I've just created another list. Today I want to invite you to know God. To come and put your heart before Him and say, God, I can't keep living just according to trying hard and falling on my face for what's good and what's bad. God, I need your grace. I need to know you. I need to receive your love. So maybe that's you today. Or maybe it's just resounding in your heart. Yes, this is the freedom of the Lord that I've experienced. that knowing Him has brought me freedom in my life. And whatever that is, I'm gonna keep playing guitar and singing, and I might do some things you don't know too, and that's okay. But I just want you to make sure you take this time to get your heart right with God. To really ask yourself, am I living according to some kind of, in my own strength, trying to attain some kind of righteousness? Or have I really surrendered to the grace of Jesus Christ? To put Him as the place where He is the Lord of my life. He is the boss. He's on the throne. But I just get to receive grace from Him and follow Him and get to know Him. Amen? Amen. All right, so let me pray for you. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would fall on this place. That you would show us the condition of our heart. God, that if we've left You out and tried to be right with You somehow on our own strength, God, that You would show us that we've completely fallen short and we've missed Your heart for us. God, I pray that You would pour out Your love in this place, God. Your love that says, I want to know You. I want to forgive You. I want to teach You about myself. God, that You would draw us to Your heart. That You would draw us to that place of openness to receive from You. God, I want to thank You too for the freedom that You've already brought in this place. God, I'm hearing testimonies of the things that are coming forth as a result of this ministry. And God, I want to thank You for the people who do know You. God, that You're drawing people to Yourself. And God, we say that we love You and we trust You. That this time is Yours. God, don't let us leave this place without getting our hearts right with You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to open up the food and the clothing now. But remember, we are here. And we are willing and able and ready to pray with you if this is your day to surrender to Jesus. We've got people here who want to pray with you. And we'll be here until the last person leaves. So praise God. Thank you, Jeff. God bless you. All right. Now enjoy some worship here from Pastor Jeff. He's going to lead us in some worship. Amen.
Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, sacrifice so freely given, such a price for our redemption. Heaven's gates swing wide. There is power. Yeah. All sufficient
Water to my soul.
Your name is sweeter than honey on my lips. Your name is power in every circumstance. Jesus, in Your name we make mountains disappear. One word conquers our fear. One word.